Grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread today, Tuesday, talking about everything around the barn. But before we get to Auburn, it's time for one question, one cup, one guess. Yeah, a little bit of trivia, if you will, on this Trivia Tuesday as we get you started, get the blood flowing on today's episode of Coffee and Cornbread. Won't be Auburn trivia, maybe sometimes it was, but not today, because this one is just way too fun, and we got to have fun on these episodes. Today's question is brought to you by the calendar. That's right. Today is National Mac and Cheese Day. So if you're a mac and cheese fan, first, I want to know in the comments, how do you make your mac and cheese? Because I know people who have it with sriracha. People go barbecue sauce. They get loaded mac and cheese, six cheese. We can go on and on. Okay. I don't want to get you that hungry, especially if you haven't had your eggs yet. So let's dive into this. Which U.S. president is credited with helping popularize mac and cheese in America after bringing the pasta machine back from Europe? Don't Google it. Don't ask anybody. Not if you're talking to in the car or next to each other. Drop your guess in the comments. We'll reveal the answer at the end of today's show. Now, let's catch up with everything you missed around the barn. First, the off-season conversation around Auburn always seems to start with the same disclaimer. I don't want to get my hopes up. Well, on this week's Top Button podcast, Charlie Five explains why this year might actually be different and why optimism doesn't have to have blind faith.
It's funny that you have to like apologize or you have to like preface anything positive you say about Auburn nowadays because of what's happened over the past few years. I know fans feel that way. Heck, even I feel that way sometimes. It's almost like a here we go again type thing. But he said a lot of things there that I think are not super outlandish at all. And continuity may be the most impactful piece. I think that's what I want to go with. Impactful piece of that whole clip. Because think about when you start a new year, especially now, you're more than likely starting off with a lot of new faces, with the transfer portal and everything that you add in to the game, coaches changing, and so on and so forth. It's hard to ever hit the ground really running right out of the gate. It's really hard to just jump right in and be able to be at mid-season form right at the beginning. You need something to kind of ease your way into it.
Auburn fans have been wrestling with this for the last few years. It's not that people don't want to believe. It's that they're burned enough times to hesitate before buying in again. I get it. The last two coaches have been awful. But this offseason feels different because the optimism isn't built on recruiting rankings or hype videos. I mean, maybe it is. But it also does feel like it's built on continuity. Alex Golish isn't starting from scratch offensively. That is the huge thing that I think you can maybe put the disclaimer to the wayside. Byron Brown already knows the system. Several key players know exactly what's spent on them and, you know, ready for them on day one. It doesn't guarantee Auburn wins 9 or 10 games, especially when most of these players are making the jump to the SEC, but it does mean that the team has a chance to hit the ground running instead of spending the first month figuring themselves out. Speaking of Byron Brown, next, you know, Byron Brown continues to be one of the most polarizing quarterbacks in the SEC heading into the season. On yesterday's Village Vice, Zach and Brad pointed out what they believe is a pretty obvious standard, a double standard, if you will, when it comes to how people are evaluating Auburn's new quarterback.
I think that Byron, and we've, I don't want to beat a dead horse, we've talked about this a little in the offseason. I think Byron is shaded a little bit because he followed his head coach. And people just think it was an easy, you know, it was an easy move to make.
I do think it's weird that following your head coach in the court of public opinion is worse when I think that I should actually be. In most cases, it's better. When John Mateer followed Arbuckle, is that his name?
Yes.
Oklahoma's OC.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he was praised, like it's the same system.
Yeah.
When Philo did that from Georgia Tech to Florida, it was praised. Oh, he already knows the system. When we think back of or I guess this class, but all the North Texas folks, North Texas to Oklahoma State, it's the same thing as South Florida to Auburn.
Yeah.
And everyone's talking about, you know, everything going on there. I'm blanking on their quarterback's name. Mestemaker.
Yeah.
And that's all praised, but this seems to be the only instance I can think of where it's talked about differently than other places.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we always hear that continuity is one of the biggest advantages a transfer quarterback can have, knowing the terminology, understanding the playbook, having a relationship with your coaching staff. Those are usually viewed as major positives, right? Well, for some reason, just like Zach mentioned on this show, and he really breaks it down more, go check out Village Vice. When it comes down to Byron Brown, the same continuity gets dismissed instead of celebrated. Is that the Auburn bias or the Byron Brown bias? Let me know what you think in the comments below. Ask yourself that question out loud. It'll get your head turning for sure. Now, none of these guarantees, again, will show that he lights up the SEC. He's still got to prove it against a completely different level of competition. But 3,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't. You're bringing in an elite quarterback into this conference, and I feel very, very good about what is happening on the plains come this fall. On the other side, a peek into one of our member-only shows, Afternoon Delight. There has been plenty of preseason projections that Auburn has this offseason, but one ranking has caught Ben Taylor and Charlie Five's attention on this week's Afternoon Delight. Why is the FPI top 25? And why, you know, Auburn being in there, and why it might actually matter? We'll talk about it next, right here on Coffee and Cornbread.
I think people are starting to recognize that the between the continuity, the quarterback, you know, your whole offensive staff, a lot of the offensive nucleus of that explosive offense last year at South Florida, and then you throw in the defensive side as well. On top of the beginning of Auburn's schedule, and Auburn can make some noise. And I think that's pretty much the whole point of this conversation, maybe.
Well, I the start of it is what really got me when you brought this up, though, is Auburn being in the top 25 in the FPI, because I think that's a good start. And then you kind of control your own destiny from there, because there have been people that have said Auburn's not going to be in the top 25, and it's almost like if the season ended today. Let me ask you that. Season ends today. Are you happy being ranked number 22 in the country? Forget all the other stats out there beside it.
Hold that thought. Let me look at last year. The 22nd team was Houston. Let's look at like a comparable team. Michigan was 9-4 at 21. So that means you'd be 9-4 or 8. Yeah, let's just go 9-4. You went 9-3 or 8-4 in the regular season, won a bowl game, or 9-3 and lost your bowl game. That's about where we would be.
You go 9-3, you're in the playoffs.
Well, clearly not, because Michigan went 9-3 and they weren't in the playoffs. This was last year.
Do you think in the SEC you go 9-3, you're in the playoffs?
Vanderbilt didn't. I know it's Vanderbilt, but
that's why.
I think it'd be pretty crazy if you were saying this was a team that was going to be predicted or projected or picked to win the SEC or make the college football playoffs after how the last 5 years have gone. So, I mean, I understand that. But for the first time in a while, I feel like I can't stress this enough. You know, there are national indicators pointing in the same direction. The optimistic views are high, folks. You've got continuity with the coaching staff. Going right back to it. Good old reliable. You have Byron Brown already comfortable with this offense. You got a key defense pieces returning. DJ Durkin obviously sitting there as well. And you have a schedule that gives Auburn a real opportunity to build confidence early. You 100% do. So I think this is a really good spot. And maybe why the FPI means a little bit more, showing that you're actually getting a little bit of the respect that you finally deserve. Speaking of finally, recruiting has become one of the biggest storylines of the offseason. And every time Alex Golish posts one of those eagle emojis, Auburn fans know something is coming. To begin the week on the Barnes Social Hour, Hunter and Graham talk about why these commitments are becoming more than just adding another name to the class. Auburn isn't collecting stars. They're collecting traits, length, versatility, athleticism, players that can line up in multiple spots and give the coaching staff some options.
Again, you think we're done and we're not. We're just not. And you keep seeing that bat signal go up, the eagle emoji from Golish. Like, oh, crap. Who are we getting now? You know what I mean? Not, oh, crap. But you know what I mean? It's like, okay, what's next? What do you got in the chamber there, coach? you know, and then boom, here we are. We got another stud. Like, we're finding these guys that, you know, might not be like, obviously he's highly recruited, you know what I mean? But as far as like, I'm trying to think how to word this, sought after. Does this make sense? What I'm trying to say, where you get these guys that are kind of multifaceted and very versatile in what positions they can play, especially on the defensive side. And I'm glad that they're kind of honing in on that. And that's just kind of the era that we're in now, along with this, you know, this wild, wild west NIL era, is you have numerous players, you know, I guess their positions are considered athletes, whether it be an offense and defense. And it's like, okay, where can we plug this guy in? Where can we plug him in here? Where can we plug him in here? And it's just cool to see that we're starting to take advantage of that again. And I think it'll benefit us in the positive. And I know Durkin has something up his sleeve for that. I trust Durkin on this a lot. I trust Golish for sure. So
look, that's what seems to be becoming of the blueprint under Alex Golish and DJ Durkin. Find upside, high upside athletes, trust your evaluation, and then develop them once they get on campus. What I really like about this recruiting class and why it does feel different, and again, don't want to hang the banner, but it feels like the way that they're entering this class is different. They're entering right away after official visits. They're putting the feet right in the boat and saying, I want to be here. Didn't seem like that was the case under the last coaching regime. A lot of flips, a lot of manipulation had to happen. And that's not happening this time around. At least that's not what we're hearing. Recruiting rankings will always matter, of course, but sometimes the best additions are players who haven't reached their ceiling yet. I think there are plenty of players in this recruiting class of the 26 players strong that are still yet to earn another star. And although, again, industry rankings don't mean everything, but it's going to really change the perspective on how Auburn's recruiting class looks in just a few months' time. All right, so for the answer to today's question, one guess, 1 minute. Give you one more second to think about it. If you guessed Thomas Jefferson, you got it right. Jefferson discovered macaroni dishes while serving in Europe. He brought a pasta machine back to the United States and even served macaroni and cheese at a White House dinner in 1802. You having mac and cheese now? Because I just let you know that it's mac and cheese day. Are you stopping at the store? Are you a Velveeta, a Kraft, a homemade mac and cheese fan? Let me know in the comment description below. Today's question of the day, how do you like your macaroni? Who knew one of America's founding fathers also helped make mac and cheese famous? I don't know. Pretty fun right there, for sure. We'll have another trivia question waiting for you next week on Tuesday's episode of Coffee and Cornbread. So thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow. War Eagle.